Glory to God. Hallelujah. If you got your Bibles, I want you to turn with me to the book of 1 Samuel chapter 17. 1 Samuel chapter 17. I want to get into the word today. This has been percolating in me for about a year. And this particular message that I'm about ready to minister, and I believe you'll be blessed by it. And I believe you're here today. You need to hear this, because this may be some of the problems that's caused you trouble in life. And I'm going to deal with this. Title of the message is The Green-Eyed Monster Whose Eyes Turn Red. You can write that down if you like. The Green-Eyed Monster Whose Eyes Turn Red. One thing I've learned about the scriptures is that the Word of God tells the truth. It's always ever-present tense, even though it may be talking about the past or talking about the future. It will come to pass. A lot of people ask me, what's my favorite phrase in the Bible? And it came to pass. Now, my favorite word in the Bible is suddenly. I just like suddenly. Glory. Suddenly you get healed. Suddenly you get blessed. Suddenly you're in heaven. Suddenly you're walking on the gold streets of glory. It's just such a blessing. I love those two things. And I want to deal with this tonight. And I believe everyone that's listening to the sound of my voice, that are watching by television, or that are here today at this wonderful facility here, Covenant Church, that the Lord so graciously gave us to help us to build and bless. It was such a blessing. But yet, this has brought some trouble to me. And I'm going to explain that in just a minute. And what I mean by trouble is that this particular green-eyed monster whose eyes turn red showed up a couple of times. And I'm going to deal with that. 1 Samuel chapter 17, David is now standing, has gone on to the war where Goliath is popping his lip off and just cussing the body of Christ or the body of Israel. And he's just a young boy, and you know, people don't pay too much attention to him. But he's anointed by God, and he was anointed to be king of Israel. And it didn't look like it was going to come to pass, because if you go back a couple of chapters, you'll find out that Saul asked him to come play the harp for him, and he'd sing, and then Saul throwed a javelin at him, and you know, and it looked like he just went back to, you know, tending sheep and stuff like that, even though the prophet Samuel had anointed him to be king. But he came over to bring a gift to his brothers, because they were about ready in the middle of a war. His daddy, Jesse, sent him with some cheese and some bread and stuff. He said, go down there and help your brothers, you know, go to where the battle is. Of course, when he gets there, to make a long story short, you know, he runs in there, because he's just like a normal teenage boy. He runs in there to see what he's all excited about what's happening. And, you know, of course, Goliath is cussing, and he listens to this. And he said, what shall it be done for the person that kills this fool? Now, isn't that like a teenager? I mean, you think about it. You want some of me, leapfrog? Come on. You know, teenagers. And teenagers never do anything unless you pay them. He's about 17 years old. He said, hey, what do I get if I kill him? I mean, it's kind of like when you tell your own teenager, why don't you go ahead and cut that grass, boy? How much you going to pay me? Why don't you wash the car? What's it worth to you? Why don't you make up your room, make up your bed? How much money you got? Because teenagers always need a little help, you know. So in 1 Samuel chapter 17, I want to start reading verse 27. Well, let's read verse 26. David spake to the men that stood by him, saying, what shall be done to the man that killeth this Philistine, and taketh away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? Now, boy, that's talking good, right? And the people answered him after this manner, saying, so shall it be done to the man that killeth him. And Eliab, everybody say Eliab. And Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he spake unto the men. And Eliab's anger, underline the word anger, was kindled against David. And he said, why camest thou down? And with whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know thy pride and the naughtiness of thine heart, for thou art come down that thou mightest see the battle. What he was saying was he didn't want David to see how scared he was. Now, in those days, ladies and gentlemen, Eliab, the eldest son, was the top dog of the family. If you was born first, money, I mean, hey, the birthright is yours. Esau, Cain, think about that. You know, I mean, Joseph's brothers, Reuben. You know, and nobody likes that when attention begins to go to another person or whatever, whether it's church family or natural family. Now, Al David said, I love the next verse. Look what it says. David just looks at him and he didn't even really answer. And David said, verse 29, what have I now done? Is there not a cause? In other words, you ain't doing nothing, big boy. Isn't there a cause here? My God, man, this guy's cussing us out. You standing there with your lip hanging down. What's the matter with you? Is there not a cause? You're supposed to be my big brother. Fools, to do something. Because everybody was afraid. Now, you got to understand something about God. God shows mercy upon whom he want to show mercy. God picks people, not mankind. Because if we would pick people, we would pick by the outer exterior. God picks by the entrance of the heart. If he can touch a man's heart, touch a woman's heart. God don't mind women preaching, but men do. They don't like that, you know, because they get a little insecure that she might preach better than you do. You know, something like that. You know, so what? I mean, God chose, does whatever he wants. He made Deborah a judge over Israel. And you know, in them days, that's a big thing for a man to listen to a woman. It's a big thing for a man to listen to a woman now. It's the truth. You know what I'm talking about. Look at these women. Boy, that's the truth. You know what I'm saying? And yet, if you really want to get things done, if you cooperate together, God will work with you. I want to deal today with the green-eyed monster whose eyes turned red. I want to deal with this word called jealousy. Everybody said jealousy. How many of you people have ever seen jealousy somewhere? Hold your hand up. See that? That just hit the whole church. You that are watching my television, same thing. Jealousy, the green-eyed monster. It's a green-eyed monster. It's pretty until its eyes turn red. And then things begin to happen. Eliab became very jealous of David. Why? Because it's not David's fault that God picked him to be the king. Because you see, he's one of eight. But you see, he was supposed to have it. But because of that problem in his life, he could not be king of Israel. Saul had the same problem. Saul chased David. Mad at David. Glory to God, because God had anointed him. Well, that's not David's fault that God called him to be king. God called Saul to be king, but Saul wouldn't listen to God. David was a man after God's own heart, had many weaknesses. But the whole thing this was that he said, hey, I'll just do whatever the Lord tells me to do. So I want to deal with that today. And I want you to write this down. You must learn to master yourself before you can master anyone else. Write that down. If you want to find out, bless God, how many, because we have all these natural feelings in our lives at times. And I want to let you know, sometimes we don't like people getting ahead of us. But you know what? Maybe they're destined to be ahead of you. Maybe they're destined to do something you're not destined to do. That doesn't mean you're less than them. You see what I'm saying? You have to do what God's called you to do. Now, you know, I'm a musician. I want everybody, I can play 11 instruments, and I play them pretty good. I made a living at it. But I never could play horns. I always wanted to learn how to play a horn. I wanted to be a saxophone player like our brother, or a trumpet player. But I tried, but my lips are just not strong enough. I mean, my neck would hurt. Now, I remember when I started playing guitar, my skin would just bust and break. But I didn't care if they turned blue. I'd say, because them strings, you know, have to toughen up your fingers when you learn to play guitar. But it just seemed like I just couldn't seem to get past that pressure. I tried to learn how to play horn. I just couldn't do it. And it felt funny. You know, and you had to go, and I didn't like that. You know, and it didn't sound the way it's supposed to sound. See, but my brother was a good trumpet player. Wayne could play trumpet because I wouldn't dedicate, commit myself. I went through the pain of learning how to play guitar to get my fingers tough, but I wouldn't go through the pain of getting my lips tough or to get that pressure. You know, you got to learn, you know where it's at so you can hit it. See, now I want you to see this. Before you can master anybody else or before you can become a person of authority, you must be submitted to authority. You must learn to master yourself. And the biggest person you got to master is you, because you are the toughest one you will ever meet. Because there's something in you that will happen. The devil got mad at God and he caused a revolution because he was jealous of God. Jealousy is a terrible thing. So when you understand, Eliab is mad. He is angry. See, jealous people are desirous of inflicting pain rather than uttering the truth. In other words, they want to put somebody down because it makes them think that they're less. Now, this is one of the biggest problems in ministry today. You know, you would think if somebody come in this beautiful place that we built, that people would shout about that. But they say, oh, they're just showing off. No, we ain't showing off. We're just giving God the glory. And we don't say that your church is ugly. We don't say your house is ugly or your car is ugly or you ugly. We don't, ain't none of my business. You know, we just, you know, I don't know why, but it seems like for some reason or another, people always trying to compete with the Joneses. I'd like to know who the Joneses are. Because if the Joneses lived in my neighborhood when I was growing up, that's some poor Joneses. You understand what I'm saying? Trying to beat somebody. You know, I mean, you know, you look at the football game. I mean, everybody's got different talents. I mean, the tackle can't run as fast as that back. But I tell you what, that back can't run at all unless that tackle blocks for him. Now, he may not get as much notoriety, but I guarantee you, if he stops those linebackers from beating the brains out those backs gonna love that tackle and that guard and that center. I mean, somebody gotta snap the ball, but everybody wants to be the quarterback. Everybody loves to be the quarterback. But listen, you own the team. I don't care if I'm the water boy. I'm gonna get a jacket too. You understand what I'm saying? It don't mean no difference where God placed me. I have to be satisfied where God placed me. And I realize that God has completely studied me to know what I can do and what I can't do. Oh, you understand what I'm saying? So you must learn to master yourself before you master others. Jealous people are desirous of inflicting pain rather than uttering the truth. Years ago, I was a rock musician. I mean, I was a rocker. I played on the same circuit as Led Zeppelin, Grand Funk, Kiss. I made a lot of money. I mean, girls screaming. I mean, and we would just play ball. And I mean, we were a good band. I'm telling you what, we were tight. I mean, tight. You couldn't put a razor blade between us. We were good at it. I mean, we practiced. I mean, we stayed at it. Wrote original material, did a whole ball of wax. Well, you know, every once in a while we'd play in Chicago. In Chicago, ladies and gentlemen, the union was so strong you could only play 5 days a week. Everywhere else you played 6 days a week. But in Chicago, you had to have Sunday and Monday off. That's the way it is. Or at least 2 days off in that week, or they wouldn't let you. You didn't play. Well, we were so excited that we could actually have another day off instead of Sunday, because we'd play Monday through Saturday, you know. So we'd have Sunday and Monday off. So we would go, I said, let's go listen to some bands or something like that. So me and our band, we'd get together, we might go to some other club or something to listen to somebody. Now watch this. We sitting there and we all drinking, we all a bunch of drug heads, smoke dope, you know, drinking and all that, but we were musicians, you know. And so we sitting there and we listening to this band. Now these bands were great, you understand? They were good. Yet the people that I work with, they say, oh, we better than them. We are so much better than them. I said, no, we not. They look at me, what do you mean? I said, if we was better than them, we'd be here. Instead of playing that piece of trash joint we in, we're not better than them. Oh, I'm a better guitar player than you. No, you're not. If you were, you'd be here. You're not. I said, why don't we learn everything they know, then we can learn what they know and learn what we know, and we'll just better ourselves. I had the hardest time, because let's face it, I've seen a lot of better guitar players than me. I saw a lot of better keyboard players than me, a lot of better singers. All I want to do is learn from them instead of saying, tell you one thing, bless God, I'm better than them, but how come I'm making $4 an hour and you making $100? Come on, let the elevator go to the top. So I would tell this band man, I said, God, man, I said, instead of being critical, let's just listen to what they do. Well, you know, we did get into those nightclubs. We got in there as we practiced, we learned what they did. We saw what they did. And all of a sudden, we were able, and we bettered ourselves, and we worked hard so we could get to the positions that we saw these people at. So when you understand that, I mean, jealousy was right there. Or if somebody applauded too much for one of the bandmates. Some of the greatest groups in the world have been broken up because of the word jealousy. The green-eyed monster whose eyes turned red. Let me tell you something. The Beatles are one of the best groups. I mean, they even wrote long hair music. I'm not talking about hippie stuff. I'm talking about where the Chopins and the Beethovens would have listened to their music if they'd have been living during their time. Now, you know what? They broke up. Now, they've all done good on each own, but they have never, none of them have ever done what the Beatles did as a package. I mean, Paul McCartney good. John Lennon was great. You know, George Harrison, Ringo Starr. They've all done it and made some hits. Don't misunderstand. But they never have done what they did when they was the Beatles. Now, what broke all that up? Well, bless God, I'm the one writing the music. I'm the one to do this. I'm the one to do that. And all that kind of. If you just stayed together, ain't no telling where you'd be today. You see what I'm saying? Can't hardly get them back together. Some of the greatest groups in the world. I mean, there's nothing wrong with going single, going solo. Very few people go to the levels as a solo artist as they did with the group. If the group was just cooking together and just really flowing together. You understand what I'm saying? And what broke it up was jealousy. Jealousy is a green-eyed monster whose eyes turn red. And when jealousy eyes turn red, it doesn't care where it's at. It'll beat your brains out at any given time. Because it's out to kill you, see? And the worst jealousy is in family. Oh, Lord Jesus, man. Now, I'm going to tell you something. Don't never tell your child, if you got more than one child, don't tell, if you got two boys, three boys, four boys, don't tell one of the boys, I ain't never had to worry about him. I always got to worry about you. You're always messing up. Lord G, you're going to cause a problem that's going to last all those boys' life. My mama would tell my oldest brother that all the time. My oldest brother is very talented, Wayne, very talented boy. But you know what mama would say? Wayne, I always got to get after you and always got to go look for you. But that Jesse, I ain't got to worry about Jesse. Well, Wayne would beat me up because of what my mama said. And it caused a division between me and my brother. I'm saying we never had relationship till we almost got 40 years old. Because he got jealous of me. And he didn't mean to, but mama was saying that. She said, I never had to worry about that boy. That boy gonna do that. But mommy says, different. Wayne would get caught and go to jail. I just got out. I just knew when to get out. I'm gone, man. I knew how to be slick. I was slick Willie. You understand what I'm saying? I mean, I'm just as bad as him. I remember my daddy bragging about me. He said, that Wayne, that boy drank all the time. Jesse, he never drank at all. That boy keep his car clean. That day he ain't gonna never drink at all. And he said, let me show you his car. And he walked out. And I had been drunk the night before. But he didn't know because my daddy didn't know nothing in those days. Mama knew everything. He opened the door and two bottles of whiskey fell out. He goes, my God, what is that? I said, daddy, somebody put two bottles of whiskey in my car. You know my daddy believed that. He said, I ain't right, Jess. I said, it ain't right, daddy. Who would do such a thing? He walked back and he told my mama. He said, mama, somebody put two bottles of whiskey in that boy's car. Mama said, I'm looking at mama. And that Wayne, I told you, mama, he drinks all the time. Y'all, he always catches me, but he drinks all the time. Daddy believed one time I put two bottles of booze in the washing machine. Because I knew if my daddy ever caught me drinking at the house, he'd kill me. He said, boy, you come here drunk, I'm going to kill you. You understand? I'll make another one look just like you, but I'm going to kill you. And I got drunk. Mama always knew I drank because I'd hit the door. See, I'd hit the hall. We live in a trailer. Thank God for trailers because see, if I fell, I'd just hit a wall. You know? So I'd put my hand on the door. Get back to that bed. And then I'd be sleeping, and all of a sudden I felt a presence in my room. It wasn't God. I opened my eyes, it was my mama with her nose by my mouth going, smelling my breath. You've been drinking. Start beating me, man. Lord, mama, don't hit me. Anyway, we was eating breakfast. Daddy turned on the washing machine. Boom, boom, bang, bang, boom, bang, bang. He said, what's in there? I said, tennis shoes, Daddy, tennis shoes. Mama looked at me. He said, what's that smell? Boy, I knew I had been had. And we had a bird named George. This was an evil parrot. Tell you everything going. I tell you what, my brother Mark, you know, he's not here this morning. Mark would sneak to the refrigerator to get something to eat when he was a kid. And this stupid bird would say, Mark's in the icebox! Mark's in the icebox! Called it the icebox. He just beat the bird. He was about that big. True story. I'm not kidding. And as I walked by, that crazy bird said, Jesse been drinking. I said, shut up, George. We gave him bacon to kill him. Ham, sausage. A bird ain't supposed to eat that. They're going to die. Not that bird. That bird loved pig. Oh. We got him on sale because he had one toe. True story. You can knock him over even. He just fall back. I'm telling you, true story. Daddy loved him. He didn't love Daddy. Daddy put a bag on him. I want to hug him. And he said, you could, if you kept his eyes closed, you could hug him. He'd take that bag off. George. Jesse's been drinking. I don't know how that bird found out about that. He's in hell today. We put a girl bird in there one time, trying to help him out. I believe he was homosexual. I tell you, I think I'm crazy. He didn't like her. I said, come on, George. Anyway, glory to God. When you understand this green-eyed monster's eyes turns red, this jealousy does not allow a person to reason. Just because somebody's better than you, you begin to plot to try to get them out so you can look better. You understand what I'm saying? Girls have that some, I don't think they have it as strong. Maybe they do. You know, sisters, you know, one might be prettier than the other. I don't know how that stuff works. You know what I'm saying? I'm just glad God created you. I never forget when I first met Kathy. You know how I met Kathy? Kathy Carrere? Carrere. I was a lifeguard. Oh yeah, I was at the Legion Park pool, the lifeguard. And the only reason why I took that job so I could meet girls. I mean, I enjoyed swimming, but not that much. But them girls go swimming. And one of these friends of mine, I used to work with, named Matt Chasson. He might be watching today. He said, Jesse, there are five girls coming out of the girl thing. He said, you ought to see them, man. They are fine women. I said, yeah. So, man, we start flexing, you know. Well, I can't flex no more. let me help it out here. Can you see? Is it working? It's all fell down now. Just... What y'all laughing at? You just as bad a shape as I am. We flex it. We flex it. You know what I'm saying? How many of you boys used to, come on, man, hold your hand up, you flex. Come on. Ask people, where the bathroom? That away. Did I do it all right, Mom? Okay. She used to go, whoo, Jesse. Not no more. She goes, whoo, Jesse. I said, if you think I look bad and I throw the mirror behind her, look at that. Just fun. Just a little fun. Hallelujah. Ooh, Lord. See, jealousy does not allow a person to reason. We were flexing, and sure enough, all five of them came out. And they were all in line. There were Myra, Deborah, Kathy, Christine, and Patty. You ought to have seen them, man. All had this long, beautiful hair. All of them had hair, beautiful hair. They just come walking out, and I thought, talk to me. Hey, Lord. Were you there? You might have been there. I tell you what, I got to meet him and became a friend of the family, and we started dating, and finally I married Kathy. Now, I have never given Kathy. I became a preacher of the gospel. I'll say this on television. I'm a pure man. I mean, there ain't no past in my life. What I mean by that, I don't mess with no women. I don't steal no money. I know some of y'all saying, oh, yeah. No, I don't. I mean, don't blame me for what your preacher did. Don't shout me down when I'm preaching good. But I have to bear that brunt sometimes. But one time, not long ago, I guess about 5, 6, 7 years ago, we went to Albuquerque. Now, me and Kathy got a good marriage, even though I joke around a lot. Well, we do have a great marriage. I give her nothing to be jealous of. She gives me nothing to be jealous of. You know, jealousy. Let me tell you something. There ain't no such thing as nice jealousy. It'll have to jump on you when you least expect it. So I'm preaching in Albuquerque. And there's a mall across the street from the hotel. So Kathy said, you want to go to that mall? This was during the day, you know. I said, yeah, we'll go to that mall. So I walked across the street. In fact, we didn't get a cabin. We walked across the, had to walk over a four-lane highway. Walked across the street. We started walking in the mall. So I'm just looking. And, you know, when you go in different parts of the country, they all have the decor. Like when you get into Albuquerque, everything is Southwest. Everything is earth tones, colors, you know. They kind of like doing that. So I'm walking like this. I'm walking this mall. And what I'm looking for is a pair of cowboy boots. I'm thinking, man, I'm going to get me a pair of nice-looking cowboy boots. So as I'm walking, as I looked at Kathy, I see Kathy going, I mean, she just puffed up, ding, 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 nails out, mad as a harness. I said, what's your problem? I see you looking. I said, you see me looking at what? I see you looking at a girl with a short dress. I said, what girl with a short dress? Now, that's a stupid thing to start looking for the girl with the short dress. I didn't even see the girl with the short dress. I didn't even know she was in the mall. And she was going up an escalator. You picture it. I'm preaching. I'm going to let you picture it. I'm walking. Kathy thinks I'm looking underneath this woman's dress. Going up this. I ain't even seen the escalator. I ain't even seen the girl. I'm looking at this store right by the escalator. There's a pair of boots. And I look it up.
green-eyed and turned red. You want to kill me, Madison? I said, woman, are you crazy? I said, what woman? Then she realized I didn't even see the escalator. Oh, she went, oh, Jesse, I'm sorry. I said, what woman? If I'm going to be accused, just let me see who I'm being accused of. I still hadn't seen the woman. Still hadn't seen the escalator. She said, I thought you was low. I said, what lady? Where? She said, never mind. She just knew up and down. I thought, woman, are you jealous? You jealous of me? And then all of a sudden, I started believing in myself. You still got it, boy. Yeah, you still got it. Your flexion is floppy, but bless God. So is her eyes. Her eyes are floppy. She ain't noticed the falling down stuff, the gravity. I couldn't reason with that woman for a few minutes. She was mad as a hornet at me, thinking I, first and foremost, a preacher of the gospel. And second, my husband. I never seen the woman till today. I don't know who she is. But if looks could have killed, that woman died when she got to the top of that escalator. I don't doubt it. I don't know. I never seen her. I still don't know. Well, I wind up getting the boots. You know, I was looking at the boots. I was like this. Now, here's the escalator. I ain't looking at the escalator because the store, like this would be the escalator. Store's right here. Man. And I'm looking for them, what do you call them kind of, ostrich boots. You know, the big pimples? Or whatever you call them. I don't know. You know what I'm talking about? Whatever. Full quill. That's what. Bam, I spotted that thing, and she was on me like white on rice. She apologized all day long, and I let her do it. You must learn to master yourself before you master others. Jealous people are desirous of inflicting pain rather than uttering truth. Now watch this. Jealous words are often spoken to damage you in the eyes of others. People start talking, you can tell when they're jealous, when they're trying to damage you in the eyes of others. You can tell the green-eyed monster, his eyes are starting to turn red. Isn't that amazing? Eliab is mad. He's jealous because God has chosen David to be king. Cain was jealous of Abel. The brothers were jealous of Joseph, Jacob's boys. You can find it all through the Bible, everywhere. There are major prophets in the Bible. There are minor prophets. I can honestly say this. Me and David Sostrand have no jealousy between us. You know why? We've learned he knows his calling, I know my calling, and we get the job done. In other words, when somebody tell me you should have heard Pastor David preach, he shucked the corn, I don't say, tell you one thing. He stole my notes. No, indeed. Give honor to whom honor's due. I told David, bless God, when he became pastor of the church, I said, I'm believing God that one day people will come in and say, boy, I wish you could come back next Sunday. I know Brother Jesse preaching, you ought to come here to pastor. He would really bless you. He said, oh, that never, yeah, why not? Because you see, I don't get into those things. I realize how detrimental, how that can stop the flow and the love of God that's in your life. Oh, you understand what I'm saying? You know, and in other words, you can love somebody, but my Lord, you should never let jealousy get to the point that you don't reason. You have to learn to reason. There's some people mad at me over this building. There's people in the city of New Orleans mad at me. They speak evil of me constantly because I'm going to say something. I'm going to just say it. Glory to God. We have some wonderful people come to our church. Terry Woodard, husband to be. Y'all do this so everybody can see what I'm talking about. Now, he evidently... I don't know, how old are you, brother, if you don't mind me asking? Go ahead, tell me. 51. I'm 52. I look a lot older than you are. But because my hair's so white, but it's up there. Let me show you the newest rumor. You ready for the newest rumor? You want to hear something crazy? I heard you bought a Jaguar. Am I correct? A Jaguar. Nice. Probably always wanted one. I'm so glad you got one. Now, I never owned a Jaguar. Hey, give the man a hand clap. Anybody got a Jaguar? Praise God. Bless him. Now watch this. Watch this. So, you know, I think Terry's drove it or whatever. He might have bought it for her. I don't know what he's doing. But well, anyway, Michael Koblitz, you've caused me more trouble than one boy I've seen in my life. Was you driving that Jaguar? Have you ever drove that Jaguar? Yes, you did. Nice, huh? Now, Michael Koblitz is Terry's son-in-law, correct? Tracy is Terry's daughter. So, You get an opportunity to drive a Jag. Wouldn't you drive a Jag? And if you say no, I'm going to cast that lying devil out of you. A Jag was nice. Well, evidently, you must have drove his car or Terry's car just to drive. Which is nothing wrong with that. That would be a blessing to God. Nobody ever asked me to drive it. I just thought I'd let y'all know. But anyway, now watch it. Beautiful car, right? So evidently, now I haven't seen Michael drive this car. I give Michael a hard time. But watch this. This ain't Michael's fault. Michael's driving his father-in-law car, I guess, just driving it. We think that's nice, isn't it? Wouldn't that be nice? Now here's a rumor. Jesse Duplantis is making people go in debt that work for him so they can drive expensive cars. Now everybody knows I'm believing God for everybody to be debt free. Jesse Duplantis is making go borrow it now so they can drive expensive cars. Now they told this to someone and this certain person said, that's not true. We work there. You ought to see the car I drive. And I don't know what that means, but whatever. Something like that. Now, automatically, I get nailed because Mike gets blessed to drive a Jag, which is this. They want to nail me. They think I'm putting the pressure on all my people. We don't want nobody coming here unless you drive a Mercedes, Benz, Continentals, and Jags. That's not true. That's jealousy. Now, that's a green-eyed mouse who's turned red to the point that it has to create a lie. To literally create a lie. You see, what happened is there's no reason in these individuals because jealousy is taking them over. Jealousy or envy puts you in competition with your brother instead of cooperation. Write that down. You see, what happened is you get out of cooperation, you start getting into competition. Now, all this man did was drive the Jag. There's nothing wrong with that. I thought, man, that's a blessing of God. And when they told me you got a Jag, I said, praise God. Did you see Terry driving the Jag? I said, wow, glory to God. That's wonderful. What's wrong with that? I don't go, tell you one thing, Jesus. No, I was glad. But automatically, people around the city and all going to tell everybody that I'm putting pressure on the people that work for me to go in debt to buy expensive cars. That is simply not true. That is not true. First, that don't make any sense. See, then I realized something. See, now competition is set in instead of cooperation. I preach in the biggest churches, don't mean that arrogantly, in the country, in the world. I preach with the biggest ministers that you see on television. I know them all. I've preached with them in conventions. And I tell you one thing, there are some, bless God, that I tell you one thing, Lord Jesus, it's competition galore. I'm about ready to go up next or something like that, or be behind some, and they say, tell you one thing, I don't know, sure hate to have to follow him, see what you could do with that, Jesse Duplantis. And I think, Lord, I'm not out to beat you. I'm not out to be better than you. I'm just going to do what God tell me to do. I'm not trying to beat you and anything of that nature. Boy, but that's even worse. That happens in the church. It happens in the ministry. And it happens in your family. You know, me and my brother, oldest brother, never really got together until we got close to 40 years old before we could actually have a relationship and a fellowship because that was birthed in us all those years. You see what I'm saying? And it's wrong to do that. You lose relationships. I miss it. I miss that. I've been around families. You know, we're a family that don't hug a lot. That's how we was raised. We don't hug a lot. Kathy's in family. Lord, they'll kiss you. They'll put wet lips all over your face. I mean, I went to Kathy's house first time I ever went. I didn't know her grandma. Lord Jesus. She said, that's my grandma. She said, hi, let me kiss you. And I saw them old wet lips. I go, oh, Lord. Jesus. I mean, I thought she was going to peck me. But, you know, just, Lord. I said, do y'all do that all the time? But that's a wonderful thing. Now I've gotten that family. Watch it. I tell you one thing. Boy, I mean, them sisters get together. They just enjoy themselves. We go over there. They get one of these little machines where they can sing along. And they just sing. And we have to sit there and applaud for them. They just sing along. They don't get mad and say, my cornbread dressing better than yours. My ham better than yours. They don't do any of that. They just get together and they just have a nice time. I wish that would have happened in us. You see, because out of jealousy comes strife. So jealousy or envy puts you in competition with your brother instead of cooperation. This is a disease, ladies and gentlemen. This disease will alienate the minds of those you're trying to impress and cause your own downfall. When you start exposing your jealousy, you are causing your own downfall. You are not impressing that person. You're trying to damage the individual. What you're doing is alienating that person that you're talking to against you and causing your own downfall. So, you know, I've had people mad at me because I'm an encourager. Oh, I've had people get so mad at me. My God, you're doing something. I'm on your side, man. I'm for you. You know what I'm saying? Hey, praise God. People say, I had people say this not long ago. All you ever do is encourage people. Well, have you ever been disappointed or discouraged? Sure, that's a heavy thing to carry. I'd rather encourage you. Someone told me this week, I'm going on a diet and I'm going to lose some weight. I didn't say, I said, go ahead, do the best you can. Kathy got mad at me Friday night. She'd been trying to lose a few pounds. I don't know what for. She ain't big to me, but I mean, that's her business. So we go and eat after Friday. We sit and eat. And then, is it my fault that they put a piece of yellow cake with chocolate icing in front of Kathy? It ain't my fault. She said, Jesse, that cake is talking to me. That's what she said. I said, well, here, answer it if you want. I'm not. Now she ate the whole piece and was mad at me all night. I never heard the cake talk. I didn't hear the cake talk. She said, you made me eat that cake. I said, I did not. You know I've been dieting. I said, yeah. But I said, I didn't force that into your mouth. I didn't see you go, no. No. If you'd have done that, I'd have helped you. You ate the whole thing, what? Do you know I would have lost extra weight? I said, this is a disease. Now, you know what? I looked at that cake, and that's my favorite. I like that yellow cake with chocolate frost. I do, son, Lord Jesus. One time, me and Kathy, I fight my way. She don't have to fight. You're going to see tapes of me fat, skinny, fat, skinny, fat, skinny. Lord, I got, my skin's made of rubber. But, you know, I'm very fortunate. I don't get into that cellulite stuff. I just get swollen. Then I lose it out. But things are starting to fall. It's pretty bad. Brushed my teeth this morning and my mouth was going, it's bad. But I'm not a big sweet eater, but I do like chocolate. Don't send me none. Please do not send me any cake. I don't want any. Glory to God. I'm sitting there. You might have heard me say this on another tape. I'm looking at this. And you know, it was Duncan Hines. You know how they grab that chocolate swirl and that little thing goes. Boy, and I'm sitting there and I had any. Oh, that looked good. You know, it was moist. You know how to hit the cake and it goes, hello, hello. You know why it's moist? That's exactly how it feels inside your body. It's going to put some padding on you, man. So I'm looking at it like that and I think, man, I'm going, man, because I had the heat in it. I turned, there's Kathy looking at me with the eyes. She said, you want one of those? I said, what? She said, do you want one of those? I said, yeah, I'd like to eat something. You know, you always say, yeah. She didn't give me, I was just saying, yeah, just to be, yeah, but I didn't really want that. She went, okay. She jumps off the couch, gets in the car. She going down Ormond Boulevard. Thank God there are no cops. She'd have went to jail. I mean, she just flew over the tracks. Went to Winn-Dixie, got some yellow cake mix, got some chocolate. She came back and baked the cake. Now you think, you don't think we were hogs, just us. Now, boy, it's so hot. Can you see it? She brings it to me. She said, you want a piece? I said, yeah. Boom, she cut it in half. She said, here's your half. Here's my half. That's a true story. We was in the flesh. Pure, unadulterated flesh. I said, can I taste yours? No! Bite your own. Now, I would have normally, I love, if I'm going to have cake, I like cold milk. You understand? I like a cold milk. She says, you want some milk? I said, yeah, give me the jug. I didn't even pour it in the water. I ate that cake, and I'm drinking the milk out the jug. I mean, they got chocolate frosted all over the top of the milk. Kathy got her glass. She ate the whole half. I ate the whole half. And in the midst of all this chocolate, I said, Kathy, we have sinned. A great sin. You've heard me say that before. And what you sow, you will reap. Because when you put that much sugar in your body and you ain't used to it, all of a sudden it went, Kathy jumped up. She heads for one bathroom. I head for the other bathroom. We purged ourselves. We have never done that since. Remember that? But then Friday night, she ate that piece of cake. Jump in my case, man. Jump in my case. I said, woman, I did not make it. Well, how come you didn't eat any of it? I said, it's because I have more faith than you do. More willpower. I'm not a sweet eater, but they are. Christine is too. Both of them. Lord Jesus. I tell you, talking about some praline addicts? There they are right there. I tell you, you want Christine to do something? Just leave little pralines all the way. You pick them, baby. If you don't think they got a, I mean, the other, Christmas, I never make the bed, but I happen to get, and I hit something. I look, and Kathy had a praline hid underneath the sheets. She hide them underneath the pillows and the sheets. Now, I've never seen a bed bug, but I bet a bed bug, if he ever hit our bed, he go, I love this place, man. You got dessert. You got everything here. Love it. True story. I'm not kidding you. Then all of a sudden, if I lose weight and she don't lose, she get mad and she get a little jealous of me. She said, oh, you know, you lost some weight. I ain't lost no weight. Well, starve. And vice versa. All of a sudden, it just seems like we never do it together. One's losing, one gaining. The other gaining, the other losing. If you just do it together. Both of us want to go to Hawaii, look like this. So skinny, say, boy. Oh, you love this. We see when you're fat and you fight your body and you've lost weight, people say, oh, you're sick. You go, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. You just want to. A person who is jealous is often terrified by a person who is secure. Write that down. I'm taking a little time here. Write that down. A jealous person is often terrified by a person who is secure. You see these two girls here, you got Brenda and Kimberly. These girls sing, son. Now they have totally two different kinds of ways of singing. Both have their own styles. But they'll get out there on them celebrate Jesus and they just start cooking. Now I notice Brenda don't try to do what Kimberly does. Kimberly don't try to do what Brenda does. They just do it together. Glory to God. And it just comes out wonderful. I call them the sisters. And they just go at it. Glory to God. And then Renee's the same way. I mean, Renee get out there and she'll sing. She ain't trying to sing like Kimberly or Brenda. Or they just flowing. Glory to God. I mean, it's just amazing. There ain't nobody can play bass like Pat. I mean, you know, Pat gets into it. You can see it on his face. Michael, he just stands there. But I mean, it's coming out good, see? Everybody's expressing what they do. There ain't nobody jealous of each other. That's Joel back there just beating his brains out, you know, saying, Lord, sweat running fire. I mean, they have pieces of wood flying. That's why we put that fiberglass, because he'll kill you, man. I mean, he hitting him, bam, that 2x4 flying over. Wham, pieces of wood flying over. You see him go, whoom, he grab another one. Come on, just hitting him. But there ain't nobody going, I'm gonna outplay you, Pat. I'm gonna outplay you. No, it don't work that way. You just work together. It's called a group. You see, and it flows and it works. Because you see, when you're jealous, you get terrified by someone's security. You can tell that. That's that green-eyed monster whose eyes turning red. See, jealousy only sees the present. It does not have the eyes to see the future of a vision. You ought to write that down. Jealousy never sees vision. It only sees present and it thinks, oh God, somebody else, someone's eyes are going to be turned off of me. And on them. And I got to do something. You got to understand. See, Eliab could not see the future of David. But thank God for David, because Eliab was now in the lineage of the king. Even though it might have been his younger brother. That's not the issue. You know, I don't know why God chooses who he chooses. That's God's business. Why? You know, you see a lot of white people that can't sing very good. They don't dance very good. That's just, it's the truth. Black people, little babies. I mean, they even snap good. White people going. Yeah, every once in a while you'll find a white girl that can dance, you know, but she's probably doing some black moves. Am I telling the truth? It's true. Yeah. You think about that. You know, they try, they want to, you know, they want to do, want to roll. Whoo! You know, and they say it's in black people's blood. Maybe it is. I don't know. I believe it's a gift from God. They can sing. They just, well, you know, they sing out of themselves. When I first heard Charlie Pride sing, Charlie Pride's a black man. Same country. I said, they're white people in his family. Now he sing good, don't he? Fine. Everybody was so shocked. Charlie Pride, today I passed you on the street. I said, he's been wounded. He sounds like a white man. Yet he sold millions of dollars worth of records, and then he's good, don't miss. But you wasn't expecting that. Because you know, when you see black people, they, you know, this move, the whole choir moves together. I mean, even the gowns flow together. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And I notice them, when you see somebody, you always want to be them. Do never lose your individuality. Be you. You know, T.D. Jakes came up on the scene, sweating up a storm, sweating. He got him a bath towel. He never had a handkerchief. Most people had a handkerchief. Not T.D. T.D. had a bath towel. He sweat through his suit. You can see that. Glory to God. Now you notice a lot of preachers, they got their bath towel. You know that? One black guy shaved his head. Okay. Everybody shaved their head. Kathy's always trying to get me to change my hairstyle. I said, Kathy, I don't care if it changes. I create my own world. Well, you're out of fashion. No, you're not in my world. You're just not in my world. Do you understand? I don't live by what you think I should look like. I don't live by how you think I should walk or what I should drive or what I should wear. Because you see, if you're mad at my car, mad at my house, mad at my plane, mad at my church because they're debt free, let me tell you what your problem is. Your eyes are turning red. You got jealousy. I'm not jealous of you. I'm not jealous of you. I got some friends of mine got way more stuff than me, but I ain't jealous of them. I had a man ask me the other day, do you have a Rolls Royce? I said, no, but I got two friends that do. Now, do I want one? I can go buy one tomorrow, ladies and gentlemen. Lord Jesus, I can go buy one tomorrow. That's not the issue. The issue is, just didn't want one. Might get one, maybe I will. I don't know. I ain't even thought about it. But you know what? I'm not jealous or mad because somebody has one. I wish I could sing like Kimberly. I wish I could move like Brenda. I wish I could. Brenda got the, save Tina Turner. I mean, I'm going to get them skirts on them so they, you see their legs do da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. But I mean, that's her. That's good. There's nothing wrong with that. I like that. Praise God. But when I sing, I can't sing like them. But I can sure enjoy their talent. I can sure enjoy your talent. Do you understand what I'm saying? I saw a man not long ago when we were building this thing. He couldn't get over me. I never seen a man work a bulldozer like that in my life. I mean, he could take that bulldozer like a butter knife. And just, I thought, so I'd stand out there and just watch him. I mean, sometimes for an hour. He stopped. He said, Reverend, can I help you? I said, no. What are you doing? I said, I'm watching you. He said, am I doing something wrong? I said, no. I say, it's amazing what you can do with this bulldozer. I mean, you got to know your business, how to work heavy equipment. You know, I mean, he had that thing. It's like putting butter on bread. I said, how do you do that? He said, years of making mistakes. He said, you learn how to do that. Boy, he'd shake that thing. I mean, it was a talent. Now, I could never do that, but that's a great talent. I wasn't mad because I couldn't do it. I was glad that he could. See, because I wasn't in competition. I'm in cooperation. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So I can see that man has a future in contract business. They're going to call that man, buddy, when they want to do something. Why? Because he's good. See, when you understand jealousy, it is a foolish and dangerous passion. Write that down. It's a foolish and dangerous passion. I'm going a little long here, but I'm almost finished. It is a foolish and dangerous passion. Beware of its four stages. It has four stages. It starts off first with anger. You get angry. Then you get envious. Then madness comes. And the next thing, murder. It has four stages, ladies and gentlemen. You can see it in Cain. You can see it in Joseph's brothers. You can see it in Eliab. You can see it all the way through. It starts off with anger. Then it goes to envy. Then it goes to madness. Then it goes to murder. The Song of Solomon pastor gave me this verse the other day. Song of Solomon chapter 8 verse 6 says, jealousy is as cruel as the grave. That's Song of Solomon chapter 8 verse 6. Jealousy is as cruel as the grave. Because it starts off with angry. You're not really, you're just a little angry. Then you get envious. Wait a minute. Then you get mad about it. Then you want to commit some, you want to murder someone. And spiritually people have, that's what strife does. We don't allow strife in our ministry. If we find it, we eradicate it immediately. Why? Because it starts off with anger, ends with envy, starts with envy, anger, enviness, then it goes to madness, and then it goes to murder. I tell you what, I've had to do this, and I didn't know that. You see, because see, I've always been a male. I've always been a boy. So I don't care who you are. They got some men that seem to really understand women. And that's great. There ain't nothing wrong with that. But I don't think anybody will ever understand a woman. I don't think a woman will ever understand a man, because we are two different sexes. Even though we're created in Christ, you know, a woman's going to do some things that just a man just ain't going to never think about doing. Now, he may learn how, but it just, it's part of her life. Now, when I started, I can work men much easier than I can work women, because men will show you how they feel. You go to work on a crew with a bunch of men, and you do something, some other guy will say, hey, excuse me, what you doing? Now, women are not like that. Women kind of do this. They're like cats. They don't move very quick. They just kind of, you can see it in their eyes. They get a little, watch it. They think different. That's not bad. They just think that you have to learn to work women. You can have them all mad at each other. Over what? And there ain't nothing really. But what I don't think is very much to that woman, it's a lot. Because, you know, most men, if they just say, I don't like that. You want to fight? See, you know what I mean? There's a confrontation made, but a lot of women do. And it just builds up on them. And I tell you one thing, you better get out the way. Now, when I first started hiring ladies, and we have quite a few ladies work for us, I learned this probably the first, 6 months after I opened up the ministry and I started hiring women, I would come in, I was very nice. You know, I walk in, they didn't see me very much because I was traveling all the time. So I'd walk in, and I might be, you know, I might have maybe three or four girls working for, and I'd go up to one and say, how you doing today? I said, Pat. She said, I'm doing fine, Brother Jesse. I said, everything going great? Yeah. And all the other girls would go. I said, hey girls, how y'all doing? Fine. And I just happened to talk to Donna. I use Donna's name. I just happened to talk because I might know Donna more than I know the other person. Then these little rumors start. I bet you what, when somebody gets a raise, Donna gonna get the raise. Tell you one thing, bless God, there gonna be a promotion. I bet you she get it because, you know, he notices her. And if he really knew Donna, he wouldn't give her nothing because she don't work at all. No, I'm just using this because it's not true, but I'm just saying she does a hard job. But I mean, that stuff like that begins to happen. I didn't know that. So Kathy brought me into her office. Kathy, come here, Jesse. She said, now look, we don't mind you saying hi to all the girls. Hey, did you? You can say all of them. But you got to understand, say hi to all of them. Huh? Well, I did. I said hello. No, you don't understand. Because I might have to begin to think, tell you one thing. You watch when promotions start. Bet you she gets it. And I work harder than all of them, blah, blah, blah. And you might. That's not the issue. I don't know. I don't understand. So Kathy said, you got to be careful with that. I said, well, I ain't doing nothing wrong. She said, no, you don't understand how women think. And that's really true. Because what happens is that those little walls come up. Because women are constantly changing. And men are constantly staying the same. That's a compliment, ladies. That's not a shot. Women are constantly changed. I promise you. You look at my two sisters here. I promise you. If we take a shot of them on the camera right here. I promise you, in 3 weeks, that's going to be totally different hairdos. I promise you. You never know, son. And they look wonderful. Glory to God. I like it, but it's changing. I mean, things are changing all the time. You men, some of you men got the same suit that you married in. Right? Your wife been trying to get you throw away. Oh, no. But women going to change their hair. They're going to do, hey, it's just the way it is, man. They love a changing. change and change. Kathy had a whole bag full of shoes. I said, hey, there's a whole bag full of shoes here. I mean, shoes. We got shoes. I mean, shoes everywhere. Hanging off of doors. On our shoes. Basket. The attics are full of shoes. Shoes, shoes. I said, this bag. I said, what's these? She said, oh, I don't have time to wear these. Bring them to the office. I go, okay, I'm carrying shoes. Lord Jesus. And I thought, you know, if she kept these, because I promise you in 5 years, the style's coming back. It'll come back, man. It will come back. But no. But I learned those things. You have to learn how to work with people. You have to learn. Because jealousy will come up in any way, shape, or form. And the reason why, because that's what caused the revolution in heaven. Jealousy. So I close with this. I will exalt myself above the Most High God. I will sit in the congregation of the north. You know what Satan wanted? You think he wanted heaven? You think he wanted the gold streets? He wanted the anointing. Because it's the anointing that creates life. He wanted that anointing. He was the anointed cherub. He had an angelic anointing. Jesus had Jehovah anointing. He wanted to sit down in the presence of God. But no angel is allowed to sit down in the presence of God because they're not sons of God. They are servants of God. But me and you who are in the family, he made us sit in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. We're the only species in the universe, in the creation of everything that can sit down in the presence of God. Now you must be really something. Because Satan is very jealous of you. Whoo! Because you can sit down and he has to stand at attention. See, they even tried to change it from, so they said when the sons of God came to present themselves before God, they wanted to be sons, but you understand they're servants. They're ministering spirits sent forth to minister to you. But you are God's apple of his eye. So when you don't think you much, you're watching by television, you don't think you much. Hey, devil's jealous of you. You must be something because he's so mad at you because he sees your potential. He sees who you are and he sees that you have power and authority over him. Do you understand that? Never forget that, church. Never forget that, television audience. You have power over him and he hates that. So when the devil tries to say I'm not much, I just go look at myself in the mirror, devil. I say, Lord, Jesse, look at you, Jesse. Oh, Lord, you in the family. We are family. Lord, gee, I can come boldly to the throne of grace with my petition and supplication. He can't. I can sit down in the presence of God. He can't. He going to hell. I'm going to heaven. Everything he has to be turned over to me. Can't you see that? Yeah. Now, I'm going to say something that I wasn't going to say this, and the Spirit of God quickened me today, and I said, Lord, I've kept that for over 30-something years. Kathy don't know that. No one knows. There's a lot of things I do that Kathy don't know. There are some things that I know she does I will never know. People ask me all the time, why don't you have more children? I have one daughter. She's here, I see her. Glory to God. And why didn't you have a son? Why don't you have more kids? Why? And we could have. Kathy wanted 6 children. I cast that devil out of her. 6 kids. Lord Jesus, you living in a dream world. Brother Jesse, why? Well, how come you didn't? I said, Kathy, one's enough. You want to know why? I'll reveal it to the world and reveal it to her at the same time. Because there was so much jealousy in my family. I never wanted Jody to see that. Now, I probably was wrong. In that she probably should have had a brother or sister or something like that. But because there was such fighting going on, I said, I know how. And of course, I wasn't saved in those days. And I said, I knew how to stop that. I said, if I have just one, there'll never be jealousy. Because there won't be no one to be jealous of. Yeah, because I fought that all my family life. They're not amazed. It ain't my fault that God chose me. Now, I'm not better than them by no means. My brothers, my sisters, they can do stuff I cannot do. That's not the issue. I just happen to have a television ministry. Now, we don't have that problem no more, but this was years and years ago. It was even before I went on television. I mean, it was just always a fight somewhere about this. And I told myself, if I ever get married, this is when I was a kid, and I ever have kids, it'll only be one. Because you see, if Jesus tarries and I die and Kathy die, and nobody gonna be fighting over my stuff. Jody be sitting there going, no, she don't care. She don't care less, man. But I mean, you know, no problem. No problem. No problem. No problem. No, see, I did not want to have that. I didn't want that. Because one thing I love to see is when I see a family that comes together, whether it's a church family or a natural family, and there's no jealousy in it. There's no strife in it. They just enjoy each other. I like to watch the Tylers. They're here. They, you know, there's Ruth there and Susan and Liz around here and our brother Ty. They get together. You ought to see them, man. They just love each other. Hey, how y'all doing? Hey. I mean, I like that. That's a wonderful thing. Now I'm finally having that relationship that I've wanted. You know, I call my brother today. I call my oldest brother. I say, hey, boy, how you doing, man? I mean, years ago, we couldn't have done that. No, that would have never happened. You know, because of that junk that started when we were babies, kids, and everybody made fun of it. But it wasn't. It turned into a green-eyed monster whose eyes went red, see? And so when I see family, when I see Kathy's sisters all get together, and their brother, I mean, they have one boy and five girls, right? And there's six here. They get together. I mean, it's just snappy. They just have fun. Me and Ricky just kind of sit around and watch them. Am I telling the truth? It's a wonderful relationship. It is a blessing of God. I mean, it's really great. And I see it with the Tylers. It's just such a blessing. Lord, they just enjoy each other. You know, I like that. See, I didn't want Jody to see that. I didn't want her to feel that pain because that's a bad thing. It's the same thing in your church. So there's some people, you've been wanting to get up on this platform. You know, listen, I don't choose who gets on this platform. God does. Do you understand what I'm saying? This is his place. We listen to him. You should submit to authority, but we never try to control you. See, God chooses whom he chose David. Eliab didn't like it. He chose Abel. Cain didn't like it. He chose Joseph. Reuben didn't like it. But you know what? Joseph, you hear him about being a great guy, but do you know Joseph? Jesus' lineage did not come out of Joseph. Came out of Judah. His brother. Now you would think, why Judah? You just have to go ask God. So he came out of Judah. He's the lion. Jesus is the lion of the tribe of Judah. Yet, I mean, my Lord, the priesthood, you would think it'd be a Levite. But it's amazing. God chooses whom he chooses. Think about that. Why wouldn't God call himself the son of Abraham? How about the son of Moses? Man, but he didn't. Called himself the son of David. And in David's lineage was a harlot named Rahab. Because, see, God judged her by her heart. And another girl who was a Moabitess that came in who was Ruth. See, why did he do that? There's just some things that God does that we ain't gonna find out until we get to heaven. Why did he choose Joyce Myers to preach like she does? Got not one of the biggest ministries in the world. Cause he loved her. Well, that doesn't mean he don't love you. Maybe she can handle that level of ministry. And you may think you can, but you can't. Why did he choose Kenneth Copeland to preach prosperity, to shake us loose from the bondage of debt? Amen. Why? You have to ask God that. But he sure has done a good job. Why is he taking the Creflo Dollars and the T.D. Jakes? Glory to God, man. These great men of God. And just put them at the top levels of ministry at the top. My Lord, I mean, you know, they're calling T.D. Jakes the next Billy Graham. But the only thing I don't like about it, they're trying to call him the black Billy Graham. He ain't the black Billy Graham or the white Billy Graham. My God, he is Bishop T.D. Jakes, called by God, man. And we ought to honor that. We ought to honor that. That's a wonderful thing. That didn't make me mad. I'm glad. It's a wonderful thing. Stand ye feet. I know I preached long. I couldn't help myself. This is as long as I think I've ever preached it. here. But I really believe you needed to hear this today. You understand? Because you see, in God's eyes, there are no losers. Today, you know, in the Super Bowl, somebody got to win. Somebody got to lose. But do you know the team that loses is winners? Do you realize what it takes to play that game? You know, nobody ever talks much about the bronze medalist or the silver medalist. Do you know if you won a silver medal that you're the second best in the world? Do you know how many people are behind you? I'm one of them. Way behind you. We always think of the gold. Do you realize what it takes to be a bronze medalist? A silver medalist? To be the team that... You know what it takes to be the team that loses the Super Bowl? Do you understand the record of that team that lost the Super Bowl? They're all winners to me. What happens if they're both Christian teams? Did God choose one over the other? No, one played harder. God loved them the same. One just played harder. You just got to be willing to do what you say you will do. The green-eyed monster's eyes turned red. I can say this. I had a very well-known preacher tell me this. Jesse, you don't have a jealous bone in your body. I got to say that. No, I don't. Because I seen what jealousy does. I don't like it. I don't like it at all. I've seen it destroy churches. I've seen it destroy relationships that I didn't want to lose. I hated it. I've seen it cause separations. You really want a separation of jealousy? Israel and the Arab. You know what that is? It's jealousy. They're half brothers. The descendants of Ishmael, the descendants of Isaac. Fighting wars over that today. To such a point that it literally split religion. One went Judaism, one went Islam. See how much damage jealousy does? Yeah, they all want the same land. One calls God Jehovah, one calls God Allah. Splits. Jealousy. Two brothers. Is it possible that God only wanted Abraham to have one child? And if he'd have waited? But you know, Ishmael's not a bad man. The Arab is not a bad person. It's the devil that's got into it. Reuben saved Joseph's life. Saul lost his kingship because of his disobedience. God wanted him to be king. David gained it for eternity through his lineage because he was a man after God's own heart. God said there'll always be someone on the throne that is of the house of David. Isn't that amazing? There's jealousy in your life. I want you to get rid of it. Whether it's spiritual, whether it's physical, whether it's financial. If you see somebody that's got something nice, be proud for them. If you feel a little tinge of anger, that's not jealousy because it hadn't developed into the full stage. It's just a little anger. Shut it down. Work on your love. Because once that develops, it will wind up with murder somewhere. The murdering of a relationship where you won't talk to someone. And actually a physical murder can happen. It can develop to that. It's amazing how many Christian people cannot fellowship on the earth. What are we going to do when we get to heaven? Do you think about that? All the church splits. All ball down to this one green-eyed monster. Yeah. It will affect generations.
Take the person's hand next to you. Let me pray for you. Heavenly Father, I pray for those that are watching by television today and those that are here at the church. I ask you, Lord Jesus, if we've committed any sin, iniquity, or trespass, I ask you to forgive us of all our sins, iniquities, and trespasses. You said you're faithful and just to forgive us. Lord, this jealousy has been put into the earth because of your arch enemy, Satan. Lord, we'll not have any of it. We will be glad for our brother. We will be glad for our sister. We will be glad for the other churches. We'll be glad for the other ministries. We're glad that someone is prospering. Someone is being blessed. Someone is going forth and saying, hey, look, there's my brother. God has honored him. There's my sister. God has honored her. Lord, we're never going to allow these things to be in our life because we want to live on earth as it is in heaven. We don't want that in our lives. Now, Lord, this has been percolating in me for a year, and you wanted it done today. I ask you to bless these people and honor them. And if they begin to feel a tinge, let them not feel condemned because they're not condemned. There could be conviction, but we start a new day. Like you called it the 12 tribes of Israel, but actually they were Israel. We don't want separations. We don't want competition. We want cooperation. We want to be able to love and enjoy each other's gift. Always. In the power of Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Give the Lord a standing ovation. Glory to God. Did you enjoy it today?